T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KGMZ FM and HD1 and KGMZ San Francisco, 95.7 The Game. Live from the DGDG.com studios on the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Curry away from a Looney screen, change direction, takes a 17-footer, got fouled, it's good, and he's going to go to the line. He put on the brakes, knowing Schroeder was chasing from behind off the screen, and Schroeder with just enough contact, and Curry has a chance for a three-point play, more importantly, to give the Warriors a five-point lead. He has 31 points.
First name Stephen, last name Curry. He came into my life, now everything is less blurry.
KD throws to Looney. One step, goes inside, block, whistle, throw, no, throws it outside to Curry instead for three. Got it!
I'll tell you, they could have called a jump ball there. Looney went up, got it stuffed, and came back down.
5 for 5 is Curry beyond the arc.
God, the guy can still have it, man. He had a quiet 32 last night, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. Should not have been introduced second to last. This is Steph Curry's team, city. This is his home. He should always be introduced last. He's such an egoless superstar. He probably said, let Durant go last. That's who Steph Curry really is. That was a very interesting opening night last night at the Oracle Arena. It was a little weird. It was a little choppy. It was a little odd. It was a little off. I think we all realize that and admit it. One of the things that I think absolutely went into the reason why last night felt a little odd is because one of the sensory overloads of Oracle Arena has been subtracted from the puzzle. They changed PA guys. Matthew Hurwitz is no longer doing the Curry 3 points, and that is missing. When I play these Tim Roy sound bites, that's missing from the arena last night. And if you're looking for what's missing here, what's missing here? Warriors don't make a lot of PR moves and bad PR moves, but I think the replacing of Matthew Hurwitz has been a bad move. He was officially part of the ambiance of that building for years, almost 2 decades. And if you're wondering why I felt a little bit different last night, hey, this broadcaster feels that a change in sound is a change in tone, and it's a change that went into the changed feeling last night. Now, it was still great. I mean, Oracle's fantastic, and the ring ceremony was great, bringing out the guy who's been with the team for a long time, meant a ton to him. That was great. Curry addresses the crowd, show the banner. It was great. What also made last night weird was no Russell Westbrook. What also made last night weird was 29 personal fouls called against the Warriors, which is officially more than any game last year, playoffs included. It was just an odd evening that the Warriors were, at the end, ultimately very lucky to get through. And by the way, speaking of lucky to get through it, I need to take you back in a time machine to this very minute on the clock, 29 years ago today.
Candy Maldonado with the hesitation, allowing Jose Canseco to score, and he fails to get Dave Parker at second base, so the Oakland A's take.
I'll tell you what, we're having an error.
I don't know if we're on the air or not, and I'm not sure I care at the moment, but we are. Well, folks, that's the greatest open in the history of television, bar none. Yes, it certainly did. We're still here. We are still, as we can tell, on the air, and I guess you are hearing us, even though we have no picture and no return audio, and we will be back, we hope, from San Francisco in just a moment.
Exactly 29 years ago, at this minute, 5:04, it is now 5:05 and change. We started playing that at 5:04, a 6.9 earthquake. Loma Prieta struck. Next year is going to be the 30th anniversary of that. I'm sure we'll do even much, much more, as will everybody, to commemorate that moment in time here in the Bay Area. But there's no way that we could not acknowledge this today, 29 years ago. The world shook here in the Bay Area. The World Series shook to a standstill. By the way, the Dodgers are leading Milwaukee 5-1. That game is in the top of the eighth inning down at Chavez Ravine. We got the ALCS continuing a little bit later on tonight. And the big news for us is at 5:30, Richard Sherman's joining us. Really looking forward to that. We're also going to have a name game for you in less than an hour from now. At 6 o'clock, we're going to be playing a name game. I'll give you a clue, NBA. That's the only clue I'm giving. The name game will be played for an Xbox version copy of NBA 2K19. Ooh. That's pretty cool. We're going to be giving that away in about an hour from now for the winner of the name game. 888-957-9570. Last night might have been step one of the courtship of Kevin Durant. Unless it was Curry's idea to introduce KD last, like it probably shouldn't have been done. But Curry's probably the guy who came up with the idea. He really did. But to me, this is Curry's franchise more than it'll ever be Durant's, more than it'll ever be anybody else's. It's Curry's franchise more than it'll ever be Joe Lacob's, in my mind. He is the reason all of this started to happen. And, like, you know, Curry and KD, like, they're not Batman and Robin. That's Batman and Superman. Don't get it twisted, though. Durant's Batman. Curry is Superman. And I just don't think that you go about disrespecting a guy who's done more to end an era, or an error, Freudian slip, era of irrelevance. Steph got here first. He's also signed up right now to be the last to leave. There is no more OG Golden State Warrior than Steph Curry, and he should never be treated as anything other than such. And if Kevin Durant's got a problem with that, well, that's him. That's on him. Now, it was great to see Durant last night, obviously. 27-8-6. No one just brings it to you quite like that. Klay had an off-shooting night. It was good that the Warriors won. Had Russell Westbrook played, they might not have. I think Oklahoma City sensed, we got an opportunity to steal one here, and it was good that the Warriors were able to hold them off from doing that. It was an odd night, indeed, at Oracle Arena. 888-957-9570. Real quick, time now for our 95.7 The Game signing bonus. Your chance to win $1,000 by texting the code word TRAY, T-R-A-Y, to 72881. Again, TRAY to 72881. Text it right now for your shot to win a signing bonus. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Let's say hello to Bleacher Dave calling from 101. What's going on, Bleacher Dave?
Bruce, I'm actually on the... Now, it tells you how far the season has been moved up, because on the day of that earthquake, I was on the bus on my way down to buy tickets for the Jordan game, because it was the day single season, single game Warriors tickets went on sale.
Wow.
Last night.
Everybody has the moment in time exactly pinned down, right? Everyone who was here knows exactly where they were.
Oh, dude, when I saw those waves rolling up the street, rolling up Broadway toward me, all I could think was the ground was going to open up and swallow me whole. It's, man.
Wow.
Dude, so I sit in the same, and so you nailed it. It was a weird vibe last night. It was weird. And so certainly for me, the realization that this was the very last home opener in Oakland after, when they'd been in there, since 71, and for me, I think my memory goes to 72, it just put a damper on the whole thing. I felt some kind of way then, and I feel some kind of way now. The crowd was underwhelming. You know, there was like kind of a perfunctory roar for the ring ceremony, but the intensity of emotion that we've seen and felt and experienced before, it just wasn't there.
Well, and it never will be again. You know, I've said this before, Bleacher Dave, and you've been around sports to know this enough. The ravenous fan will always be louder than the well-fed fan. That's the way it works. I mean, that's why it's a lot easier to beat up Conor McGregor, the millionaire, than Conor McGregor on the come up. Because you get a little comfortable, you get a little lazy.
Agree 100. I mean, no, it could be the same demographic, exact same people. We just would not have the same yearning. Absolutely agree. I sit in the same section as Dre, 102. And so I looked around last night, and I saw two other people, one pair, that I remember from last year, consistent season ticket holders. But that's not new. You know, I rode with the same people in 2015. We were there every game riding that season. 2016, it was mostly the same people, a few defectors. The last couple of seasons, I don't know who any of those people are. Everybody sells their tickets because it's just way too expensive. It's not new for this season. And as far as you saying the words, never make a PR move, failing to pay the city of Oakland and its county of Alameda $40 million that are still owed for the retrofit of that arena while there is major homelessness on the edge of the Coliseum property and everywhere in the town is a shameless PR move, and it's sickening. Get your act together, Joe. Finally, I'll end with this.
Look, hold on. No one forced the city of Oakland to sign that deal. You know what I mean? Like, the city of Oakland makes a lot of bad business deals on their end, too.
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, there should be honor amongst people, right? And sadly, you know, Joe Legibus said, if you don't force me to do it, I won't do it. That's sad. I'll end with this. I don't know if you got a chance to actually hold one of those rings. My wife and I saw Joe Lacob as he was walking out, and she asked Joe, "Hey, Joe, can I see the inside of the ring?" You know, thinking that he was going to pop off the top. Instead, Joe slips it off his finger and puts it in her hands. I don't know that last time I made her look that joyous.
There's a lot of trust right there, don't you think? It's glad that you're not married to a gaffler type of woman who just pockets it in books.
I calculated my age and how the fitness of my legs and whether I could dash. I like not being locked up.
Thank you, Bleacher.
Well, Damon.
Yeah, you do the same, man. Absolutely. By the way, the only thing more impressive maybe than that ring was the shoes on Mrs. Lacob. Oh my goodness, Nicole? Nikki Lightyears was rocking the Icarus Prada Flame thing. Look, my wife saw these shoes. My wife right now would leave me for these shoes. There's no doubt in my mind. She would scrap our marriage for one of the shoes. You could hop around on one, much less two. She's definitely leaving me. And I got to tell you, Nikki Lightyears, her shoe game dominates the NBA the way the Golden State Warriors do. Like, her shoe game absolutely won 74 shoe contests. That woman dresses. I might have to. I took a picture. I asked her. I said, "Nikki, can I take a picture of these things and put them out?" I might have to document her shoes game by game. I mean, you wanted something to root for? Root for Nikki Lightyear's shoe game to just keep on rolling through the NBA. 888-957-9570. Leroy in Oakland, thank you very much for the call, Leroy. What you got?
Hey, what's up, Damon? You know, Damon, I'm going to shed a little light on what you was feeling in the arena last night. And I'm watching the game, and I told my wife, I said, you know what? This regular season with the Warriors, I'm going to have to find me a side piece team. And I'll tell you what I mean. I was thoroughly bored, Damon. And I think it's just the price of being champions so much. I mean, you know, they talk about how the players, they get complacent and they get bored, the Warriors, because, you know, we've won championships and they have that switch that they can turn on and off. Well, I think fans have that too. I mean, we've kind of gotten bored. I mean, I went to bed at, you know, the end of the third quarter. So I just think it's just that. And I think we'll turn our switch on when it's time. But I just think it's the price of being a championship fan, Dan.
There's no doubt about it. It's lonely at the top. It really is.
Yeah.
You have an expectation when you buy a Warrior ticket that is completely different than the Warrior ticket you bought 10, 15 years ago. You went hoping to see something good. You now make a purchase, which is three times more expensive than it used to be, and you demand something excellent. And if it's not, you feel like, meh, I didn't really sign up for a competitive game. I wanted a dominant performance, which I'm measuring against history at all times. It's There's a desire to measure the Warriors against history more than the opponent that they're playing, and this leads to some of the, I don't want to call it apathy, but it's like you've been so exposed to success that the notion of success isn't as quite alluring as it used to be. You get used to things. And it really is human nature. And you can say, well, you just can't do that as a fan. And look, you got to get your mind right. You can't do that as a fan, but it is in human nature to retreat to that thought pattern, to fall back on that. I expect the Warriors to win the NBA title this year. How fired up should I get for this? What, you're telling me the next 3 minutes of this third quarter are really important? Really? Really? Like, really? 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 Because I bet you they could lose tonight and they could lose the next two games and still be champions in June. Don't you think so? Well, yes, I think so. And it's just that thought pattern starts to absolutely permeate the entire crowd. Peter in San Francisco. Peter in San Francisco? No dice? I think there's a problem with line one. Whenever I click on line one, it feels like that caller's not there. The rest of these lines are working just fine. Robin in San Francisco. How are you, Robin?
I'm okay. Listen, he got my name wrong. I don't mean any offense, but I've been listening to the media and the radio, you guys. And you know what? I can understand that everyone's, nostalgic because kind of feeling bad because they're not going to be playing in Oakland. But, you know, there's just not Oakland fans there. They just don't belong to Oakland. I grew up in San Francisco, and me and my sisters went to the Coliseum and watched them. There's just not Oakland people there.
Oh, you're right. No, and that's...
People were saying on Facebook, they are not coming to San Francisco to watch the Warriors game. They're going to sell their season tickets. Why would you do that? We need to have that same vibe here. We don't want techies and everything taking over Chase Center. I mean, we all, cut the San Francisco Oakland crap out. The Warriors belong to all of us.
Yeah, there's way too much territory. Robin, I love you. Robin, take a breath.
And the traffic is going to be murder. That's all I got to say about that.
Thank you. Robin, I love you. Take a breath next time so we can talk. It was a great lecture you gave me, but you're right. You are completely right. There is no doubt there's way too much tribalism in what makes Warriors great. You know what makes Oracle great? The basketball team. Like, yeah, East Bay crowd's very romantic, and there's no doubt it is a swath of diversity at Oracle that you do not get in other NBA arenas. I mean, watch the Celtics last night in Boston and then waiting to see the Warriors come on. The only color that you see in Boston is on the court. Otherwise, that crowd is just whitewashed. Oakland's been different. Let me tell you, San Francisco's no whitewashed city. We got diversity here. There is no doubt that AT&T Park, Candlestick back in the day, people get rowdy and loud and nasty here too. There are going to be plenty of people who are, the whole I'll never. Let me tell you what the I'll never crowd in sports does. The I'll never watch another NFL game is the same people who will never, ever go to another Warrior game. Even Butcher Boy, I'll never go to Levi's Stadium. He was there this weekend. The I never crowd is the easiest to push over crowd in sports. There ain't none of you who can hold on to the concept of never, but for more than a week. There's going to be a great crowd waiting for you at Chase Center. Will the building lend itself to the crowd? I hope it will. I doubt the Warriors are going to get this wrong, but I didn't think the Warriors were going to replace the PA guy, who I think his absence is created part of the reason why Oracle Arena doesn't feel the same. Like, what do you like about Oracle Arena? The fact that nothing's changed in there for 20 years? Well, something changed. And I'm not saying that the new PA guy is bad. It's just different. It's just different. There is a price point where the crowd starts to change. And it's not because minorities can't afford tickets. It's because individuals really can't afford tickets, and tickets start going the way of corporate partnerships. You know, who bought this suite? A rich guy? It's going to be giving away tickets to fans? Nah, a corporation bought that suite, and they're going to ask the guy who just flew in from New Zealand, who is here on a business meeting, if he wants to go to a Warriors game. And the guy from New Zealand is going to say, yeah, and he's going to walk in there and not root really hard one way or the other because he's from frickin' New Zealand. Unless, of course, he's a big Steven Adams fan, in which case he'd be rooting against you. 888-957-9570, Lewis in Marin.
Hi. So yesterday I was at the game, and this is probably a couple callers back when he was talking about how the mood of the arena was different, right? I don't know. When I was there, knowing it was the last game or the last opening night in Oracle, it kind of felt surreal, like going from watching back in middle school when the whole entire arena went crazy when Andres Biedrin hit two free throws in a row, like we're struggling in games, to now.
Well, I mean, think about it. That used to be the high watermark. Be like, do you think Biedrin is going to hit two in a row? If he does, let's party.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just, I don't know.
It's a different time. It's a different time. Things change. I did not get any of that, Albie. What are you saying? All right. Let me go to Adam real quick in Walnut Creek, and then we'll get ready for a little Richard Sherman around the corner. Really looking forward to seeing the future Hall of Famer here back on the show. We had a great conversation when the 49ers signed him. I think we're about to have another great one. Adam, real quick, though, what do you got?
Hey, Damon, man, love your show. And I got to tell you, I got hard feelings about this whole thing. You know, I've been a fan my entire life. I've had season tickets for 12 years, and I'm divorcing the Warriors now. You know, they're leaving. They're leaving Oakland. They're leaving me. And that's the way it is.
But Adam, it's like three BART stops away. Like, come on. Like, could you be a bigger drama queen? Seriously.
Come on. Give me a break. I mean, you know, I just feel like, you know, it's always been, Oakland's been a blue-collar town. I know sports are different now, but they're really abandoning that fan, in my opinion. And that's the way I feel. I mean, I can't, you know, what can I say?
Look, if the team is good, you won't care where they're playing as long as they're still playing well, if you're a real fan. And maybe that would have helped Levi Stadium. Like, the only thing I can tell you is that you can be promised a brand new stadium, and it can sound great, and the Chase Center sounds great, but then you open it up and you walk in there and the whole thing's a big dud. You never know until it actually happens. I think there are enough smart people and enough research has been done to make Chase Center a very special place. But we were promised the same thing at Levi's, and you walked in there on the opening night, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't working at all. Something's terribly wrong. And if that happens, it'll be awful. But look, just moving out of a building is not – it can be good. Like AT&T Park, that worked. No doubt about it. And if Chase Center really becomes the AT&T Park of – brand new arena, you're going to be thrilled. I'm thrilled that coming up next, we're going to say hello to Richard Sherman, one of the most interesting, one of the smartest, and one of the most effective players in all of football. There is nobody completing passes on Richard Sherman, which is pretty impressive because I didn't even think he was going to be back from his Achilles injury yet, but he is. We're going to talk about this season, how off-kilter it's been, and how great he has been for the Niners coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We're looking forward to saying hello and how are you to Richard Sherman, who should be joining us here in just a little bit. Looking forward to that. Last night, Oracle Arena, ring night. Little weird, mission accomplished, though. Everyone left with their jewelry. We saw the new banner. We saw the Warriors win. They beat a Westbrook-less Thunder team, which I tell you, when they get Westbrook back, that's a good basketball team. Yeah, I think the Warriors were lucky that Russell Westbrook didn't play last night because they were far, far away from midseason form. Our good friend Tim Roy, he was in midseason form. He sounded great in the final call last night. Sounded like this when it all wrapped up.
Curry trapped, spins, dribbles, and we'll run it out in the corner, and they'll let him run it out, and the ball game is over. So on a night where the Golden State Warriors unveil their third banner in the last 4 years, the Warriors have to grind out a win against a very determined and gritty Oklahoma City squad. Final score 108-100.
I don't want to say Tim is a victim of it, but in that building last night, there was some simulated enthusiasm, and that's just where the Warriors are in their arc for fans to sit down, consume, and root for. It's different now than it was. I saw Stephen A. Smith today say that Steph Curry, there's no doubt about it, this guy's the number one player in the NBA. Forget about LeBron. Forget about KD. Well, that's what Stephen A. Smith said today. Let's see if he feels that way next week. Like, one of the things that I have the biggest problem with in sports is a hot take on Monday is morphed into something that is the opposite of it on Friday just for the sake of new content. Like, if you believe that way last week, you should believe that way this week. It's hard for me to say that Steph Curry is the number one player in all of basketball because basketball is a size still matters sport. It really is. And when you got guys who are similar to Steph Curry but are seven-footers, like, that cannot help but be more intriguing. But Curry is amazing. And what he lacks in the how tall I am department, he certainly gains in the watch me change the chemistry and the geometry of this entire basketball court. If you need to come out and defend me at 35 feet, there is math that is opened up on this court, and maybe no other player can allow you to do that equation. One thing that is absolutely true is that Kevin Durant and LeBron James, whatever God they pray to, they should thank that God that Steph Curry is not also a seven-footer. If Steph Curry were the size of Anthony Davis, there is no doubt who the number one player in all, really all sports would be. Like, Curry would be, well, I mean, it would, forget about the Mount Rushmore. There's too much talent in the NBA to have Mount Rushmore. You got to expand it. You got to call it a solar system. Who are all the players in the solar system? I don't know. But if Curry were a seven-footer, there's no doubt he would be Saturn. By the way, you know why he'd be Saturn? Saturn's got rings. Thank you very much. Saturn's got the rings. We are going to be playing a name game coming up at 6 o'clock. Looking forward to that. We've got a very cool prize, a prize that's going to stay with you all year long, not just some knockoff tickets to go see a game on one night. We are going to give you NBA 2K19, which you can enjoy on your couch each and every night. Richard Sherman, hopefully around the corner. He was promised to us by the 49ers right here and now. We will get to him as soon as he does call in. Meanwhile, very interesting development from the NFL today. I didn't think I was going to be able to get to this here because we'd be talking to Sherman. But while we're waiting for him, let me start telling you this. The NFL is discussing whether or not the Chargers have really found a home in Los Angeles, which is amazing because anyone would just have to watch one game, spend one day in L.A., not see one person walking around in a single Los Angeles Charger jersey to realize, oh, you know, this isn't working out. No one gives a damn. I guess the NFL doesn't understand anything other than money. They really don't. They have no idea, absolutely no idea what anything is until they see the bottom line. And then they will declare it a success or a failure. Well, the bottom line is starting to come back on the Los Angeles Chargers, and it's an unmitigated, galactic, colossal failure of seriously jarring proportions, which might have the NFL reversing a few paths that you didn't think there were any chance you could turn around on. I want to read this. This is from Jason Michaels right now in the Bolts from the Blue, I believe is where I found this. Yeah. In what seemed like a week with very little NFL news, there could be a bombshell brewing for the Los Angeles Chargers. The league is interested in discussing whether or not the Chargers are a viable franchise for the city of Los Angeles. By the way, that's got nothing to do with fans. When they say viable, they mean, does this make business sense? So they were hoping, because they're going to be the tenants of the new building being built by Stan Kroenke for the LA Rams. They're going to be the tenants, but their tenants were hoping to sell an awful lot of PSLs for their team as well. Buy a PSL, you get that seat for a Rams game. If you buy a Charger PSL, you get that for a Charger game. Now, if you're saying, wait a minute, what does it matter? Like, people are going to go and show up anyways. Here's the deal. What matters is, was that seat sold to someone who bought a PSL before that person turned around and sold the ticket? PSLs are guaranteed money to these franchises. The Chargers promised Stan Kroenke that they would sell $400 million in PSLs. Their fans would be interested enough to buy $400 million worth of PSLs, and the ticket office has been open trying to sell tickets now for over a year. They're at the $150 million mark, meaning they're $250 million short. Guess who gets stuck with that bill? Stan Kroenke. That's $250 million. Kroenke's counting on that the Chargers are now saying, yeah, we might not have that. With the Chargers playing out of a soccer stadium, the franchise in the NFL tried to spin gold by branding it as a short-term intimate experience that would never be replicated. Well, the Chargers can't sell that anymore. Well, they still can, but everyone realizes that there's no Charger fans to buy your tickets. It is the other fan bases selling StubHub Center. Nobody's driving up from San Diego. Nobody's happy with the way things are going. So the league tried to, like, what, I guess, put its fingers in its own ears and go, la, 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 that doesn't matter. Los Angeles Chargers, Battlefield LA, blah, blah, blah. While having seats filled for each game, even by the visiting team, that might count as a sellout, but those visitors have not bought coveted PSLs that teams rely upon. Personal seat licenses are a sort of what is often assumed to be guaranteed money. They still require buyers to purchase them. This is a primary source of funding in the NFL, and it's a primary source of funding expected for the Inglewood Stadium, which will also serve as the headquarters for NFL media. The Chargers are reporting that this important revenue source has fallen way below estimates, significantly. Instead of bringing $400 million in PSLs, that number is now coming in at $150 million, and that has NFL owners gathering in New York City and saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. While we were worried about reaction to an anthem protest, we're getting our clocks cleaned over here financially. Should we do something about this? And what they do need to do is invent a time machine and go back and stop the madness that they've already signed up for. There is no doubt that if the Raiders had to move, they should have been the second team in Los Angeles. We knew that. We endorsed it. We said that this is what should be, but no, the Raiders were granted Las Vegas. Las Vegas does not need the Raiders to sell tickets. Los Angeles does. Rams fans are buying tickets. Raiders fans would buy tickets in LA. No doubt. There is a fan base there. There might be a little bit of a fan base in Las Vegas, but there is no need for the team that lands in Vegas to be the Raiders. That team could have been any team. That team could have been the Buffalo Bills, the Minnesota Vikings, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Miami Dolphins, whoever. Like, it could have been any team. Any team showing up to Vegas, the star of that scenario is, we got football in Vegas. Doesn't matter who the football is. Really doesn't. They would have been so happy to get any team that they would have taken the Chargers happily. The amount of success that the Raiders could have enjoyed in L.A. would have absolutely been to the tune of $400-plus million in PSLs. There's no doubt. We know that the Raiders are going to do well in Vegas when they get there. I'm sure of it. But the Raiders would do well everywhere, but apparently Oakland. So that's another show. By the way, we're reaching out to Richard Sherman, trying to get in touch. We're not trying to bait and switch you here, I swear to God. Fingers are crossed. Albie is sweating. I like to see you sweat, Albie. I really do. Hopefully it comes together real soon. Give Bob Lang a call. Give our buddy Bob Lang a call. Say, Bob, where's a future Hall of Fame cornerback that's supposed to be on Dave Mischer's show at 5:30 today? This story is really something else, though. And it's not reporting that any reversal of any action has been taken. But what is being reported today is that the NFL promised $400 million from the Chargers is getting at $150 million, which is way short, and that might have business decisions taking back over. What could this mean? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. What if, and I'm just stay with me here. What if the NFL says, all right, we have put the ball in motion for the Raiders to go to Las Vegas? But if the city of Oakland can successfully sue to keep the Raider image and likeness, maybe Mark Davis would say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't want to do it anymore. I mean, that feels beyond the pale. Like, it feels like the ship has sailed. They're going. And you know what? After you traded Khalil Mack, we're going to throw you the hell out of town anyways. You're not allowed to stay here. The Raiders are banished from the Bay Area. It's only a matter of time. What if the San Diego excuse me. We can't even say it. That's how you know it's not working. What if the Los Angeles Chargers are deemed persona non grata in the city of L.A.? Stan Kroenke, $400 million. Screw you, buddy. It's good to be a billionaire. It's good that you are. You're going to need to come up with that on your own, or the NFL can subsidy it some way, somehow, whatever. I'm not worried about Stan Kroenke's money. What if they say, hey, Chargers, you're going to London. You're the London house band. There's no room for you, and San Diego's not going to take you back. Los Angeles doesn't want you. Vegas is spoken for. You are a team without a city. London. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe, just maybe. Maybe, just maybe we get a call from Richard Sherman here. I certainly hope it happens. If not, I know what I can do for the rest of the hour.
That's fine.
Sounds like that.
That's fine.
No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to go down that road. But this is a very interesting story happening, developing, and it's worth keeping an eye on. The other story from this morning that I heard Joe Lo and Dibs talking about that I just can't keep my ear on because I will not let Instagram posts ever invade this show very often. Kevin Durant last night said, hey, it's great to be picking up this ring. It's great to be a Warrior. Like, very glowing, happy pictures, and everything is going just fine on his Instagram account. And all the comments that are coming in are basically like, congratulations, mission accomplished. Well done, well done, well done. You scroll down, and you eventually get Kevin Durant's brother, who says something tantamount to, hey, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? We're going to count rings, and then we're going to bolt. Sounded an awful lot like the Kevin Durant ship to another city has already been sailed mentally between the Durant brothers and, I guess, KD's brother has already pretty much said, look, people are looking to read things that aren't there. Stop it. You're reading too much into it. Don't do it. I would just say both Durants, less social media is the answer. Both of you guys. Less. Less is more. Do that. But I am not going to get this show all wrapped up in some kooky brother's Instagram post. Like, I'm not even on Instagram, so I can't care that much. I refuse to let myself care that much. In the NFL, maybe more than any other sport, we've got examples of owners' greed run amok. And fans, I think fans are just absolutely starting to walk away from products that don't fit. And products that don't make sense. The San Diego Chargers made sense. The Los Angeles Chargers didn't make sense to anyone. I mean, everybody agrees on something. Everybody can't be wrong about that, right? I mean, we can't get the world to agree on anything these days. Chargers in Vegas, no one thought that was a good idea except for the Spanos moron. Something's going to happen here because the NFL is realizing that you can only screw around so much until you start affecting the bottom line. The bottom line is going to get the NFL's attention. So this is good news. Good news. Good news, I guess. No amount of tweeting, fan complaining, Facebook posts, sports talk radio, like the NFL didn't hear or see any of that. But they understand an accounting ledger. And they now realize that this is a huge mistake. What do we do about it? It'll be interesting to see what they do about it. I do know that lawyers are coming. There's no doubt. Lawyers are coming. Rob is in San Jose. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, Damon. Really appreciate you taking my call. Hey, you know, it's like you got 13 vetted rich hotel owners. You know, they're an exclusive chamber of commerce. They're throwing out money at the Vegas Golden Knights and, you know, supposedly the Raiders. You know, and people know subconsciously the truth. You know, the cream rises to the top about truth, too. People are sick of the lack of social obligation that the NFL has to cities like St. Louis The fact that you have three teams misconstrued in Florida, Jacksonville Jaguars should have been immediately moved into the St. Louis market, left all the West Coast teams exactly where they are, and pursue a neutral venue that you could hype all year long and put college football on Saturday night, Thursday night football on the pro level, Thanksgiving and Christmas, New Year's Day, the new Jackpot Bowl, all win-win and double the amount of pro dates that you could have. And they totally – people get it. They don't want the cash trough city throwing out ultra-competitive teams claiming that they're in the next championship dynasty team. It's people don't like it because it's not fair. It has no social obligation to the standard American cities, period.
Well, and it's just sports at some point has to be more about can we make more money next year? Like where sports comes from, tradition, towns, ties. My dad was a season ticket holder. My grandfather left my father season tickets. And when my father passed away, he left them to me and I'll leave them to my son. You know, that's the way sports is supposed to work in a community. And when you pull a team from a community that cares deeply about it and put it in a city that like literally has always rooted against you, Los Angeles and San Diego do not get along. They do not like each other. Those are different. I mean, hey, they're both SoCal. Totally different places, though, man. Totally different places. Totally different vibes, different people, different priority list. And it's just, it's built to fail. The Los Angeles Chargers, with all the money and good intentions behind it all, is so built to fail because the idea was stupid to begin with. Much like ideas that we've heard up here are stupid to begin with. I think I'm going to give a guy who hasn't coached in 10 years a 10-year, $100 million contract. Yeah, that's stupid. You don't do that. That just doesn't make any sense. Like, if you can't convince this guy to come back for a 5 or 6 year deal, then he's just playing you for a sucker. I heard today when I was on a San Diego station, as a matter of fact, talking to my friend Darren Smith, him come back with a Gruden press conference moment. I'm not interested in playing Gruden press conference moments, but it was basically Gruden like rejecting the notion that we're tanking. We're not tanking. I don't want to hear that we're tanking. We might be having a bad year, but we're not tanking. All right, well, what word would you like to use? You want to go trust the process? Like, we can do that. I've heard that before. Trust the process is just the word tanking wearing a shorter skirt and heels. Same thing, just dressed up better. Exact same thing. Tanking and trust the process are the same thing. So you don't want to call it tanking, John. What would you like us to call it? Trying to win a Super Bowl? Because that ain't it either. You can't actively have a we're not tanking press conference the day you're looking to trade Amari Cooper. That just does not make any sense. So I can tell you right now that the ship has sailed on Richard Sherman. Even if he wanted to call in right now, we'd tell him to call back at 6 o'clock because we don't have enough time. Even if he called in right now, I apologize. I hate saying a guest is going to be here and then not delivering that guest to you. But I do like being owed something by an NFL team. And as far as I'm concerned, the 49ers owe me right now, big time. And they owe you. Somebody here on the text line says, Sherman, a Hall of Fame cornerback? Laughable. Way to suck up to your non-guest. Okay. The non-guest line was pretty good. Congratulations, touche. I can't argue there. Richard Sherman's going to the Hall of Fame. And if you don't realize that, you clearly just got here and haven't been watching a lick of football. He is the signature player of one of the NFL's signature defenses of all time. Richard Sherman will go to the Hall of Fame. You've got to be thick-skulled to even imagine otherwise. He is a Hall of Famer, no doubt. Four-time NFL All-Pro and Super Bowl champion who defined a historically significant defense. If you don't think Richard Sherman is going to the Hall of Fame, you probably think Levi's Stadium is better than Candlestick. Like you don't even know what direction north is. You're going to tell me about a compass? Come on. Damon, Gruden's trying to build his own team. Not with someone else's team. Huh? That's like Steve Kerr saying, you know what I got to do? I got to get rid of Steph Curry. I didn't draft Draymond Green. It's not my pick. We got to get rid of these guys so I can do this my way. Come on. I mean, stop making excuses. And just to let you know how absolutely talking out of both sides of their mouth some Raiders fans who also say they're Warriors fans are. Raiders fans, totally cool they're moving to Vegas. But the Warriors moving 6 BART stops that way? Nah, I'm never going again. I really don't know how to deal with the East Bay fan at particular times. It's frustrating. I understand why there's such an identity crisis over there. I would probably have one too, but I would like to think I'd have a little bit more dignity about it. Last night was a weird night at Oracle Arena. It wasn't a bad night, but it was a weird night. Something was off, and something was off the entire evening. Off with the Warriors, off with the presentation, off with the announcer. I think it all goes into the soup. Why is this soup weird? It's all the ingredients. Something's just a little odd here tonight, and something was a little odd all night long. Period. Period. Why? Too many reasons to discuss right here. And we know, we're all smart enough. You've been listening to this show for years. You're a smart sports fan. You don't need this explained to you again. You know how hard it is to be as fired up to win a basketball game that isn't in the NBA Finals as you used to be. Come on. It's a different feeling. Last night, Oracle was different. I guarantee you this. I guarantee you the ticket price is a little bit higher than normal. The fan that came in there was a little bit more Johnny-come-lately than normal. And the weird vibe that I have about Oracle will be corrected in the next home game on Monday. They're going to play the Suns. The Suns have zero interest outside of someone who might have lived in Phoenix who now lives in the Bay Area. The Suns are not a marquee team. Only Warriors fans are going to be in that building to watch the Warriors, and it's going to be a fan celebration. It'll be, I guarantee you, Monday will be better than Tuesday. The Suns game will have more of an Oakland Oracle vibe than what we just saw on ring night. No doubt about it in my mind. 888-957-9570. We've got one more hour called the championship round, our final go around the clock. We're going to do it at 6 o'clock. We're going to do it big. Unfortunately, we didn't do this hour with Richard Sherman. Let's see if we can't correct that as soon as next hour here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.